As we all know, the early Christians, almost without exception, were Jews. And because of that, they were very anxious to find in their scriptures, the Hebrew Bible, references to Jesus and his teachings. They wanted to see some continuity between what they believed and what Jesus was saying. And of course, this is part of the preoccupation of the contemporary church. You know, we are all Jews spiritually. We stand on the shoulders of our Jewish brothers and sisters, believing everything that they believe, and then some. You know, the New Testament, the heart of which is Jesus Christ. And on Sundays, when the church was putting together the readings for Mass, the church often looked to the Old Testament to find a reading that would correspond to the teachings of Jesus that would be used that Sunday. And that's the reason why we have this passage from the first book of Samuel as our first reading today. It's an Old Testament version of what Jesus says in today's gospel. So let's look at this reading and try to understand its background, and then you'll see its application when we come to the reflection on today's gospel. This is a story from the life of King Saul and King David. King Saul was the first king of Israel, and David was his successor. And both of them were successful military leaders of the Jews. Saul was the first one, of course, and he was the king. And David was a young kid, not very old, but who also had great military success. And in some ways, David was more successful than King Saul. And you can see where that leads. You know, the king grew jealous of this young man and decided to kill him. And that's the section of the book of Kings that this reading is taken from. King Saul is out looking for David, and he has pitched a camp out on that journey and has fallen asleep in the camp with his spear stuck in the ground at the head of where he was laying down, along with a pitcher of water. Now, David and his friends figured out where King Saul would be. And David and one of his good friends, his follower, his name was Abishai, snuck into the camp of King Saul and went up to him. And Abishai said to King David, or he wasn't king yet, said to David, "Let me take the king's spear and stick him to the ground with it." And you hear, if you were paying attention to the reading, David said, "Oh no, we're not going to do that. This is what we're going to do." So he took the spear and the pitcher of water and went across the valley to the hill on the other side and then yelled down to King Saul and his followers. Let's look at the last part of this reading. Going across to the opposite slope, David stood on a remote hilltop at a great distance from Abner, who was the friend of King Saul. And he said, "Here is the king's spear. Let an attendant come over to get it. Today, though the Lord delivered you into my grasp, I would not harm the Lord's anointed." So instead of paying back King Saul for his anger and desire to kill David, David showed mercy and forgiveness. And that's a story that in some way reflects what Jesus is teaching us in today's gospel. But Jesus is a lot more stronger in this passage than a message simply of forgiveness. There are a lot of common things between Christianity and other world religions. We believe in God, of course. Many of them are monotheistic, believing in one God. Most religions of the world share the belief that we should treat one another kindly and with justice, that we shouldn't murder and steal. But there's no religion in the world other than Christianity which teaches what Jesus teaches in today's gospel reading. So let's look at it again, because it's a characteristic of what it means to be a Christian, a disciple of Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples, "To you who hear," now he's asking us to open our ears, okay? "To you who hear, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you." To the person who hits you, who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other one as well. And from the person who takes your cloak, which was the outward garment that the Jewish people wore, do not withhold even your tunic, which was the basic undergarment under the cloak. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from those who take what is yours, do not demand it back. What do you think of that? Is Jesus really saying this in a way that he expects us to practice it, or is it just hyperbole, exaggerated language to make the point that we should treat others nicely? Well, I don't think it's hyperbole. You know, sometimes Jesus does use hyperbole. There's a famous passage that if your eye is an occasion of sin to you, pluck it out. If your hand is an occasion of sin for you, cut it off. That's hyperbole, which is exaggerated language to make a point. But what Jesus is saying here is very clear and very practical, but it's also very, very difficult. You know, in the Old Testament, there was a passage from the book of Tobit, which is referred to as the Silver Rule. You've heard about the Golden Rule of Christianity, which is in today's gospel. Well, in the book of Tobit in the Old Testament, there's what is called the Silver Rule. And this is how it goes. Do to no one what you yourselves hate. Don't do it to do something which you would hate yourself. That's the silver rule. But Jesus is always increasing our responsibility, and in place of that has given us as Christians what's referred to as the golden rule, which is, do to others as you would have them do to you. Not just avoid what others wouldn't like, but you're supposed to do for others what you would want them to do for you. Or if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. Rather, love your enemies and do good to them, and lend expecting nothing back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Now, what this tells us is that Christian morality is based not on a list of rules, but on what God is like. Because what Jesus is telling us in this gospel passage is that we're not supposed to love like ordinary people love one another. We're supposed to love one another as God loves us. And God loves us whether we love him in return, right? God makes his sun shine on the good and the evil as well. You know, God gives to us without expecting us to give him something back. And so to be a Christian means to think and love as God thinks and loves. And if we could do that, what a difference that would make in today's world. Now, some people say, well, that's not the real world. That's not the real world at all. That's crazy kind of thinking and crazy kind of demands of the gospel. But if it is true that God made the world, then it makes sense for us to love the world as God loves the world, right? And perhaps the way we ordinarily act is not what's real. But the way God acts is what's real, and we're invited as disciples of Jesus to embrace that as our way of life. In baptism, you and I were brought into the life of God. We believe that baptism emerges us into the life of the Holy Trinity. St. Paul is talking about that in today's second reading from the first letter to the Corinthians. And this is a passage that refers to what the church often recalls the second Adam. You know, there's Adam and Eve. Adam's the first Adam. But the second Adam is Jesus, who came to start things over again. Adam, the original Adam, the earthly Adam, is the one who sinned and brought sin into the world. The new Adam, Jesus, is the one who came to the world to redeem us from our sins and to start things over again. That's what St. Paul is talking about in this reading from the first letter to the Corinthians. He says this, "The first man was from the earth, earthly. The second man from heaven. As was the earthly one, so are the earthly. And is the heavenly one, so are the heavenly." You know, that way of thinking, of loving only our friends and hating our enemies, not letting people take anything from us, demanding everything back, that kind of self-centered reflection, even if it does seem the just thing to do, is the thinking of the old man, the earthly man. And all of us, because of our baptism, are called, because of our life in Jesus, to be new men and new women in the world, and to transform the world by being signs of that new life in our relationship with others. So, we don't have an excuse. These are not ideals for us just to think about. They're commandments of Jesus about what he wants us to do. So, are you willing to love your enemies? Think of the person who's hurt you the most in life, who you really do dislike intensely. That's the one that Jesus invites you to love, not just your family and not just your friends. It might be the husband who divorced you unfairly. It might be the boss at work who fired you unjustly. It might be a friend who betrayed you in such a disappointing way. We all have different people that have hurt us deeply. But it's precisely those people that Jesus calls us to love. And if we do that, we will be truly new men and new women in the world that needs new life. May God bring to completion the good things he begins in us today.